Hello all, welcome to Guilt by Association Football. I'm Ben McCormick, along with the still yet bedridden Ryan McCauley and Ben Hoyer.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's been a halfway decent week.
And a little bit softer now.
All right, obviously we got to get to the Ecuador recap. Where to start?
Tim Ream sucks.
Tim Ream is ass.
Seems like forever since that game happened.
I know, right?
Which has let me not want to kill him as much.
Tim Ream defended like in FIFA 12 when you have to press B or whatever, and you just forget to press a button, and so he just kind of runs alongside of him, and you just go, oh, shit.
You forget to push the clearance button.
Exactly. That's what Tim Ream did.
I don't hit the clearance button. I just try and play it out. I think I'm Barcelona.
Okay, Tim Ream.
No, I'm not Tim Ream, because Tim Ream doesn't even try to clear it at all.
So, what happened between Honduras and Ecuador? For the large part, I think that if you're going on how the teams played, U.S. should have won.
First three halves, I was happy.
Well, the thing
last 45 was bad.
We've been saying for a long time now, the U.S. should have won based on how they're playing, but they still can't score goals.
Which is an issue.
Yeah, isn't it funny we go to a more attacking formation and we're scoring less goals?
And defending less goals.
I did find that quite curious.
It's still the German in them. We're still playing defensive scoring games. 1-0s, 1-1s, 0-0s.
I think we'll get there eventually, scoring goals, but now isn't it. I mean, Ecuador, honestly, for the first half an hour there, we controlled everything about that match. They were conceding to us as far as our style of play went. We played how we wanted to play, and Ecuador reacted. And that's what Jurgen's going for.
It's the anti-Bob. Well, we start out strong and can't close games out.
Well, how were you? Were you guys in favor of the lineup that we used on Tuesday?
It could use a little more turnover, if you ask me. But
and would you have liked to have seen the guys who started the match? Because I think we agree that we played better at the beginning of that match than at the end.
Yeah, fair to say.
With the exception of
the final 5-minute flurry of...
Well, if you swap out Edu for Bradley, I'm cool with that roster.
I think we could have used Beasley in the starting lineup. He's been good in camp, and I think he'll get another call-up in November. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't. Again, in November, we're still not going to see Dempsey and Donovan.
It's true.
Will we see Clarence?
Fucking better.
Yeah, we better see Clarence Goodson.
Will we see Omar Gonzalez?
I hope so.
Probably not.
But
because
when is MLS Cup at the end of November?
It's right during that camp.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Jurgen said that he won't call in. Yeah, Jurgen said obviously, which makes total sense that he's not going to call in anybody who's in the MLS Cup final, which could be LA, and it also might be FCD, which would suck because then we get no Breck Shea, definitely no George John.
Yep,
FC Dallas and Real Salt Lake.
Without Breck Shea, are we anywhere near as fun to watch anymore?
Nope,
not at all.
We're boring as shit.
We suck without Breck Shea.
We don't get Brexual.
Well, and Anaguchi Onyewu attacking from center back.
Which is awesome.
I am striker now.
I will be striker.
It's like that one brief time in Milan gave him a taste for forward. He's not going to give it up. He wants to be forward.
It was that preseason match in the World Football Challenge where they were just like, let's just go forward. You are tall.
You're a big man.
You're large. Go.
The Spaniards are afraid of you.
He even then had the play on the right wing where he fought off one of the Ecuador players and got it to somebody who took a shot and put it. The goalie made a save on and went out for a corner. It was impressive.
Basically, our most creative player in the second half was Aguchi Onyewu, which is never a good sign.
When you put it that way, I love him.
Also worth noting is we pulled out quite a few players at halftime, made a lot of changes of that during the Ecuador match. In those last 20 minutes, we saw what is more or less a second string, especially in the attacking third. Altidor was out, Shea was out. So I don't know if I was expecting us to score at that point, but the defense was abysmal.
I never expect to score anymore. We don't score goals.
We
don't score goals.
So do you guys think we will see Roscoe Fiscal in November?
Do I think we will? Probably. Should we? Absolutely not.
I don't think we'll see him. Jurgen's shown that he's not afraid to bench somebody if they suck, and
he got hurt. That's why he sat, because he got injured.
But then in the Ecuador match, didn't play
because he was carrying a knock.
I just don't think we'll see him because he did the same thing with Castillo, who was ass, and he didn't call him in. And I don't think he's going to call him in.
I lack faith in his selection.
I think you lack faith in him in general, like as a human being.
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't trust him to drive you to, like, a dentist appointment.
No.
He wouldn't be there on time. He would be late. He'd probably get a ticket on the way there. Something along those lines.
He'd get me there in the vicinity and then just miss in the final third.
He would get you
near. He'd miss the exit.
So we're 5 matches in, and it sounds like we're pretty pessimistic about this.
Who has impressed you the most? Under the new
Breck Shea. Okay. Breck Shea. Honestly, should be gone in January. I don't know where he's going, but he's going somewhere.
I think Newcastle would be a good place
for him. I agree.
A lot of EPL sides are pushing for him, but again,
we couldn't afford Breck Shea.
You don't think so?
We wouldn't pay for Breck Shea. Okay. He'll fetch at least £8 million, I'm guessing, somewhere in that vicinity.
I think 10's a good guess.
10, yeah.
So he'll be around that Josie price?
Yeah, he'll be an Altidore price. Well, Josie was $10 million.
Yeah.
I think Shea'll fetch £8 million or £10 million, which is somewhere in the vicinity of $15 and $16 million. Maybe more.
British pound's going down right now.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's about 1.4 to a dollar.
1.4? Really?
Or 1 pound.
Let's look this up. We got Ryan on this.
It has been weakening.
I thought that it was euros is 1.6 and pounds is 1.8. That was my understanding of it when I went.
Weaker than the pound.
Yeah.
1.57 pound.
Wow. Has gotten worse. So around about 1.6-ish.
So in between what you
said. So that's right about $15 million.
And euro was 1.4 basically.
So she will go for that much, making Newcastle a highly unlikely place to go because Newcastle's cheap.
But I still vote Wigan.
But it's still Wigan.
Do you think Wigan has
the
money?
Yeah, the money, Wigan
no
definitely
way Wigan's going to show up.
And it would go with Newcastle's policy of bringing in young players.
But by the same token, if you're a club like Wigan, you're not going to take – because for all intents and purposes, you're taking a chance because he's been playing at an MLS level. You're not exactly buying a player who was playing, you know, in Ligue 1 or –
I don't even think Breck Shea would do it because Wigan will be going down.
Yeah, Wigan's going down.
I still vote Wigan.
Wigan and Blackburn are going
now,
down.
Now, do you vote Wigan because you want him playing for Martinez because he's awesome?
I think if it's the style.
I do think Martinez would be a good coach for him, though, or an easier coach to transition.
Said this a long time ago. Martinez would be an awesome national team coach. I would definitely love having Martinez.
Yeah.
Well, it's a possibility.
Then we fire Jurgen and
Martinez.
Well,
he was a World Cup commentator.
He was, and he was a good one. But anyway, Breck Shea's been the most fun player to watch for the Nats, I'd say, since Jurgen came in. He's really blossomed.
Except for the last 10 minutes of Ecuador with Gooch. He has.
Yeah, Gooch was just...
Gooch is sexy.
Gooch going into the attacking third is very entertaining.
Gooch is not in the ugly 23, which we will get to up in a few minutes.
Gooch is in the manly 23.
We can do that.
The boner-tastic 23.
I didn't say that, but yes, I do agree.
You didn't say it, but you thought it.
I didn't think it until you said it. But moving on.
So back to Jurgen more specifically.
We have 2 goals from 5 matches.
Good transition from boners to Jurgen.
Because he sucks.
We've scored 2 goals in 5 matches.
That's not very good.
It's not good for the attacking style.
No, if your goal is to attack and you can't do it, then you pretty much suck.
I had this revelation talking to a buddy on the phone during the Sounders match that Jurgen's aim is to create a new soccer culture. Yes, like that's what he said he wants to do. Can you even come remotely close to accomplishing that without having MLS change along with you?
Well,
can you even get close?
What Jurgen wants is an 11-month schedule for MLS.
Not gonna happen.
Are you out of your goddamn mind? An 11-month season?
This is no. In America, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work anywhere.
I love it when you flip out.
An 11-month season. Has he lived in the U.S. besides LA?
Well, I mean, with training, they're almost at 11 months with preseason and all.
Can you imagine playing in Boston in December.
I think would be lovely.
Try a game in Chicago in February. You'll all fucking die. You'll fucking freeze to death. No one will come to the games and they'll die. No fans and everyone will die.
Well, then just play the away matches.
Plus, they're competing against a lot of other American sport leagues.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl, you're fucked.
Play the away matches in the South. Oh, wait. There's no MLS teams in the South.
Then you have
play
hockey. Miami. Have the hockey.
And college Houston. Sports. Houston. We can play Houston.
College sports, basketball, there's a lot more. In the summer, they are only competing against baseball.
It just shows Jurgen doesn't understand American soccer. He doesn't get how things work here.
He wants the 11-month season, which I think Rob is right, means preseason training. So, in other words, an EPL-like schedule.
What he wants is more competitive games. He wants more... What he's trying to get at, he wants more Champions League quality games.
Well, will we be against trying like the Scandinavian type of scheduling where they take a winter break?
Yes.
We would be?
Yeah, America wouldn't do that.
It wouldn't work.
Okay.
I see what he's saying, and I think everybody understands. Like, okay, ideally.
Jurgen understands.
Do you understand where he's coming from saying that he believes there should be more matches?
I know he's trying to. He's not good at saying it.
He's just not good at saying it.
Well, he is German. English isn't his first language.
Neither is intelligence.
I understand what he's saying in that between the months of November and pretty much through most of February, players in MLS accomplish nothing. Don't do anything. And I think he's right in saying that because there's a lot of talented young players coming through, 18, 19, 20 years old, and, you know, in their most formative years until they're 23, 24, you're losing a year.
And just have a gigantic camp cupcake and bring in, like, 50 guys who play against
each other. I'm pretty sure that's what he's planning on doing. He's going to have the camp cupcake, but I think he's going to have one at the under-20 and under-23 level as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he has, like, a full national team one, an under-23 one, and an under-21 all at the same time with all the different coaches who should be announced in the next 2-3 weeks, he's saying. But then again, we know not exactly to trust what Jurgen is saying.
Yeah.
Jurgen summer camp in January.
Jurgen's camp.
Just $100, you can send little Timmy off to camp.
Pay for play
in Los Angeles.
I forgot where I read it, but it was a good point. Is that with Bob, what he was saying matched up with what he was doing pretty well. Bob was pretty straightforward, easy to read. Jurgen is the kind of manager who is a smooth talker, obviously great face for the media. Media loves him, you know,
Bob
really, really
Bradley's
good in front of a camera.
Read.
Well, as in what Bob, he said, like he
Bob
couldn't vary
says what
much.
He's thinking.
Yeah. But with Jurgen, you can't pay attention to what he says as much as you can what he does.
Which worries me because he does stupid things.
It's just more difficult than having Bob around.
I think my biggest concern is he already has his core set, and it doesn't make any sense.
He did clarify that later, which was nice.
I don't give a shit.
It made me feel a little better. He said that he didn't have an established core, but he doesn't want to bring in like 10 new guys every camp, which makes at least some semblance of sense.
But bring in more than one new person per camp.
And don't just keep around shitty players for that sake.
How many new faces have we seen? Two.
Grand total of two, yeah.
The first five games under Bob, we saw, I think it was 15 new faces.
Now, you can't really sit there and compare, like, okay, Bob is the golden standard, so you should be doing this, though.
Bob knew more players than Jurgen does, but Jurgen's picked these guys already.
I think Jurgen's through R on the alphabetical list of player pool. Maybe he's through R. We might be onto the S and the T, which right. would be nice.
Well, hopefully we're going by first names. Then we can get Robbie Finley in here.
No, we can't. No, we won't.
Starlet.
I choose not to acknowledge you.
I just don't think Jurgen is like he wants to have this more possession based, more organic Latin style, but he's not. Working towards it. He's looking to improve our fitness, getting more athletic players. He's saying one thing but doing another. He wants this.
He wants to combine those two styles.
But he's not good at it.
I feel as though once he has this youth program in place, I might feel a little bit better about that. Because
At that point, it'll be 2016. He'll be fired by then.
The problem is, right now, I believe Jurgen has far better ideas for the youth players and bringing players through the system than he does managing the current full national team.
Then he shouldn't be the coach.
But that's the problem, is that I'm sure Sunil offered him a position like that, and he said, no, why would I do that? I want to be the coach. I want to be the guy.
Well, then Sunil should know better than to do that.
Yeah, well, then we can harp on Sunil. But the point is, I'm going to feel better about this whole new movement once he has youth managers in place. They're having camps. They're doing stuff like that. I'll feel much better. But as for right now,
I will feel good when we produce anything positive, when we see some decent results.
You want results. We've seen decent play.
We've seen a little with no final product.
But decent play.
But I don't give a shit. If you can have great build-up for 20 minutes and it doesn't do anything, if we can't get any goals or any attacking thrust, what's the point?
I'm not sold either way.
Goals aren't the way to win matches.
Actually, I believe that's exactly the way to win matches.
Yeah, that's pretty much
It's literally the only way to win matches. I'm not sold either way because still we haven't seen Donovan and Dempsey on the field at the same time. I'm still of the belief that this is going to take a lot of time to adjust. Things have been getting better. They've been playing better. There has been improvement. Now, granted, it's been we haven't had a breakout match yet, not by any means, and these next matches in Europe, especially against France, are going to prove a stiff test. And that's going to be the first real measuring point we have, because Ecuador, you know, decent team. We had some decent players.
Did we say Belgium was the first test?
Belgium was the first test, and didn't pass. So you don't only have one test.
But the point is, I don't think we're going to progress.
At all.
Not in a significant manner.
I have a feeling this might be the Brexit type thing.
Would we qualify for the World Cup?
I think we qualify. I don't think it's pretty, but I think we do it.
I think we do it ugly, and I think we struggle in Brazil.
The hex, we probably struggle. I think with Jurgen, we're going to have a couple of embarrassing results in this the semifinal round. I think we might have something like a draw at home against Guatemala. I mean, just something that's completely undesirable, but might happen. We might lose at Jamaica, but I think we still do it.
I thought we were under the impression, or at least under the understanding, that it was going to get bad before it got better.
Yeah. But
the thing is, I don't see.
But
I
think that you still need to see what's the goal beyond it.
I don't think Jurgen has the goal. I don't think he's doing the right things to get to the goal.
But he has a goal. And you just don't think that he's going to reach it.
And yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's, you know, to each their own. Like, that makes sense. At least you have some sort of logical opinion about it.
Arguing that.
Yeah, I can't be like, no, you're wrong because.
Yes.
Exactly. I think it'll happen, but I think it's just going to get worse before it gets better. And right now, it's worse. I think that first draw against Mexico really just... it threw a huge wrench into this because all of a sudden, as I wrote about, gosh, I got to write for Match for USA sometime soon.
Any of you guys.
Anybody needs to write for that. But we had that first match, and Jurgen said, you know, ever since he got hired, which was granted like a week and a half prior to that match or something, it was just bad timing, that listen, you know, it's going to be tough. But then all of a sudden we drew Mexico, who at the time was just awesome, and they had all these great players, and we drew Mexico. And I think all of a sudden, American fans just thought, oh, this you know, this time of it getting tough is just over, and all of a sudden we're into all this, you know, we're scoring goals and we're successful. Not the case.
He got Robbie Rodgers to score a goal.
He barely scored a goal. He almost missed that.
A ball across the line.
he accidentally kicked that ball across the line.
It was the John O'Shea swing and a miss, plant foot and go in goal.
The point being, though, I think a lot of American fans got way ahead of themselves after that draw against Mexico.
Thing is, I didn't. I realized he was an outlier, but I still don't think Jurgen knows what he's doing. I don't have faith in Jurgen's methods.
I would like to believe that he does, but I have no evidence to actually back that up.
Look back in 6 months and
we can
see
that.
If you're right or wrong.
I hope I'm wrong.
Don't you just love like how
be wrong? I don't want you to be wrong.
I do, because means if I'm right, we're gonna suck.
I want Ryan to be very wrong. I want you to eat an unreal amount of crow.
I want to have a whole.
Just
crow
like
buffet.
You are by Christmas.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Hitting six goals.
I want to have a buffet of crow to eat. and I will smile the whole time saying, I'm sorry, but thank you for winning us a World Cup.
In fact, when Robbie Finley gets to 6 goals before Christmas, we are going to eat our doghouse, me and you, Ryan,
yeah, on the podcast.
I'm cool with that.
I like
if
chili
the U.S.
cheese.
Wins the World Cup, I'll actually eat a crow. I'll eat an actual crow.
Raw? No.
If we win the World Cup, give me a crow. I will kill it, eat it on the podcast.
Raw?
I'll eat the feathers. I'll eat the whole thing.
I'm pretty sure if you eat a raw crow, you're going to die.
I'm that confident. That's not what
we're Well, then again, Rob, I believe our lives will have peaked.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
So I think at that point
we'll drink ourselves and we'll coma afterwards.
Probably.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I won't.
I'll drink myself into a coma if we hit the semifinals.
Okay. Officially, I won't. I'll have cranberry juice.
Off the record.
Off the record.
My heart wouldn't be able to take a semifinal match in the World Cup. I'd just drink myself into oblivion, so I wouldn't remember it.
I'd be dead.
First of all, Danny Williams, not a right midfielder. Can we...
But a good player.
Once
Can
again,
we say that again?
Juergen doesn't know what position players play.
But a good player.
Yes, he is, but he's being used in the wrong way.
But it's comforting to know that we have a good player.
That's true,
another
yes.
good player in the mix.
I don't know if it was Juergen not knowing where he plays as much as who do you put in that spot instead?
Well, I mean, it was big being able to find another defensive mid.
I mean, you know,
running low on him.
Who plays right midfield? Okay, aside from moving Breck off to the right side and putting Beasley on the left, with the roster he chose, which I'm not saying is a good roster because we've talked about that, it was not a great roster. Who do you put out there besides Williams?
You can put Beasley on the right. He's been there before. You can go ahead and put Dempsey on the right.
Okay, but then who plays
There's
in the
two
middle?
Options right there.
Juergen seems dense. He seems dead set on having either Donovan or Dempsey in the number 10 role in the middle.
Dempsey fits there. Donovan doesn't.
Okay, so then given the roster, Dempsey stays the number 10. He's not an option for the right side.
Okay, Beasley. He's been there before.
Okay, but he seems to have some sort of reason for not starting Beasley right away, which I don't know what that is. Oh, he's not German. That's right.
It's the same reason that he started Casillo for 3 matches and Fiskalki's making the roster because he's dumb. That's the reason he's dumb.
I think you just don't see the skills that Roscoe Fiscal possesses.
Yeah, you don't see the calmness on the ball. Don't hit me.
I don't see it either.
All right, moving on.
Why do we defend Fiscal last week? Why do we defend him?
No, I don't believe
We complimented Fiscal. Last week, I was, while studying, listening to the old GBA podcast. An early first, second, third podcast. We were optimistic, if not confident, in Roscoe Fiscal.
We fucked up.
Yeah, yes. We did fuck up. Well, because that was...
Hindsight's 2020.
That was after the Mexico match, though, where we drew and Roscoe, for all, you know, all things considered, wasn't bad.
I want to be quoted. I didn't think Roscoe Fiscal played.
Oh, okay. So just put it all in Ryan and I.
Well, no, I thought.
I see how it is.
I thought Roscoe Fiscal playing at the beginning was a mistake.
All right. Well,
you keep telling yourself that, Rob. I'm not letting you throw
myself under the bus for something. I thought Edgar Castillo was going to be a good player for us.
I believe I did too.
No one believed that.
Okay, I said it.
Now
but I didn't
me and Ben are
it.
Getting thrown under the bus.
Well, because you admitted to saying that, and I was vehemently against him.
And Ryan
sucks.
And Ryan is going to be thrown under the bus repeatedly once Juergen starts winning.
And I will lie down
in front of the bus
gladly.
All right, Yank news. We're going to go to Ryan with that, who has a convenient, nice
outline. I'll let you,
wait.
What do you have news wise? And I'll fill in the holes.
Well, my biggest news. Only because, you know, me and the youth side love it. Agbasumande was approved to play for the Eintracht Reserves, which was a big point of contention being a non-EU player. Which is huge because I think he can really impress. And Eintracht is a good team to go to. The 2 Bundesliga is certainly nothing to sneeze at. He failed while on loan at Djurgårdens, but because I think too much was expected of him. And obviously he wasn't as good as they originally believed he was. To be a consistent starter.
I think they expected way too much of him going into his time in Sweden. And I'm not sure that was the best fit for him either.
But at this point, he's still young.
Absolutely.
He's playing in the reserves of a good, solid club. I'm all for it.
got a sweet throw, too.
Oh, yeah, he does. Absolutely no doubt about that.
I think the biggest news is the U.S. playing France in Paris.
Huge news and a rumored
Eastern... I agree. See what and I just did there?
I do.
A rumored Eastern European side for the second match?
Russia, we think?
Russia? We should go play in some obscure place like Romania.
Azerbaijan.
That would be wonderful.
You know what's going
to
happen?
We should just go to Russia like Rocky IV.
If you're listening to this, listen to whatever podcast we have after we play France and Russia, if it is Russia. Ryan will probably be here ready to literally go and move Jurgen out of his office and help. You would be...
Wait, so there actually is a rumor we're going to play at Russia?
Eastern European team.
Which Russia makes the most sense.
Yeah, Russia makes the most sense.
Like Ukraine, maybe?
Go to Kiev or Moscow?
Russia... The entire reason we're playing in Europe is so that it will
maybe
be convenient
go to Poland, then.
For our players in
could,
Europe to
it
be
could
there.
Be Poland. We play Poland a lot.
We do play Poland a lot, which is okay by me. I like Poland. Yeah. It's a good match. But if it is Russia, which I don't agree with because I feel like we're going to play France, and honestly, if France waxes us, which is completely possible.
They're in dire straits too, though. France is in chaos too.
They're in chaos, but they're still France. They still have talent that we don't have.
And how well did
I agree.
At the World Cup, how did that work for them?
Not very well. No. But, see, they're in a similar place to us in terms of they're in turmoil. U.S. is in turmoil, but it's turmoil that was expected, trying out a new system.
Yeah.
But France has the talent, I think, to see it through. We don't know if U.S. has the talent to actually see it through.
That's very true.
If they are still in a state of, not chaos, but disorganization.
Discontent.
Sure. We have, one of our strengths is our team spirit, I guess you could say, as cheesy as that sounds.
America.
We play well together. We play as a good unit. We're like the 300.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Except not as skilled as the people that we fight against.
Or ripped.
Also
and
true.
No
except
Gerard,
for Gooch.
And there's no Gerard Butler. Except for Gooch.
Stu Holden is our Gerard Butler.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Stu Holden's not bulky.
And Cody Crapper is the understudy.
Yes.
I feel like we can perform well against the power teams if they're not playing up to their standard, definitely. It could definitely be a 1-0 loss where we just
that's
give them
why,
hell for 90 minutes.
That's why I want to play France, which is a very, very powerful team.
How about Croatia? That could be fun.
That could be fun. That's a
yeah.
We could play
I
Croatia.
Love going to all
we
these
could...
random places where
Modric
like half
Croatian,
our national
right?
team yeah. could get like murdered,
like Cairo.
Oh boy,
let's go to Iran. That'd be fun. And bring
there were some rumors.
It was hot for
and
yeah,
bring Failhaber were... and Bornstein along.
They
was our big fuck you.
Oh,
they wouldn't
God.
Get into the country.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't even let him in.
No, they,
like...
they would not get into the country.
No,
no, we just Mr. Potato had them, so they looked like someone else.
All right.
Yeah, we have Lionel Messi on our national team now.
Who is Tyler Durden? you are taking into this. Yeah, and for those of you who haven't quite found it yet, I found this out no more than half an hour ago that Benny Failhaber,
we've been on for
with short hair, 45 minutes, that Benny Failhaber with short hair, when he's got his head buzzed, looks exactly like Tyler Durden. It is just... It is eerie.
That's
also,
nothing
also
but
with
good
his
news.
Head shape.
That warrants a November cap, I believe.
I believe. well,
and being the best player on a shitty team.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly he'll be available. It's not like
Should
the Rebs are anywhere near making the playoffs.
For November
yes.
for our attacking mid, since we're
yes,
currently
I said that
at
last
a loss.
Time. Absolutely.
Well, you didn't say he should be in. You
yes,
said he
I
was
did.
An option along with Question, and you said Question was first.
Indeed. They both should be there.
They both should be?
Yes.
Okay. So are we done with State of the Jurgen? Or have we also been done that for a while?
We've been kind of done.
Yeah, we have been. We're on just random news.
Where have you been the last half hour?
I don't know. You know, I did find some of your pills lying around.
That explains it.
There we go. Great. Two-thirds of GBA's
are
narcotics.
We're ranking our top five puppy breeds.
Okay, some more news. We had a goalkeeper coach, finally.
And a good one. I like the choice.
Yeah, Chris Woods. He's also the Everton goalkeeper coach, so Timmy knows him well.
But do you find it ironic, like I do, that after the World Cup, we have an English goalkeeping coach?
Mildly.
It's at least a little ironic.
Yeah.
So wait, the current Everton goalkeeper coach is also the U.S. national team coach?
That's correct. Chris Woods. He did play in MLS for a season.
Yes.
Yeah. He played in MLS for the Rapids one season.
He was their first coach. First goalkeeper.
Yep.
He's played for Forest, QPR, Norwich, Rangers, Sheffield Wednesday, Reading, Colorado, Southampton, Sunderland, and Barnsley. He's well-traveled. He's been on 2 World Cup rosters.
This guy gets around.
Yeah, 2 Euro Cup rosters, played 4 matches, and lost 2 of them, drew 2 of them.
So he's decorated.
Yeah, clearly. 43 caps.
He's qualified.
Like a Christmas tree.
His first and last cap were against the U.S., actually.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, so there's Chris Woods, our new goalkeeper coach.
He certainly knows how to navigate Americans, having been around Howard
indeed
so long, and Hanneman now.
Yep. Let's see. Thomas Rongen is now managing American Samoa.
Wow, you want to talk about charity.
Exactly.
American Samoa sucks. I believe they are tied for the worst team in FIFA. The worst nation.
They also were on the wrong end of 21-0 loss to
31,
Australia.
I believe.
31?
Hold on. We can look this up. But yeah, it was a horrific loss to Australia.
Well, it was the worst one.
You guys are really looking this up with excitement.
It's pretty interesting, if
it's
you ask me.
It's a big loss.
They,
did somebody hit
31-0.
31-0.
It was 31.
Can we look up the goal scores, see if anyone hit like 10?
I think one guy had 8.
This match has its own Wikipedia article, which is pretty funny. The Samoa, I believe, has a population of around 60,000, and
very
they are
few.
tied with San Marino, even though San Marino has probably more.
Could we legitimately play for this national team?
There's a chance.
Okay, here we go. 31-0. Thompson
scored 13 goals.
Wow. Who is Thompson?
Tom Thompson.
Archie Thompson.
Thompson, who these days plays for nobody. He retired. That guy retired.
He's old as shit.
He made a career.
31-0.
Off of one match for a national team.
Yeah, so Thomas.
Does Josie have 13 goals?
He's getting close.
We need to schedule a friendly against American Samoa. Really get our confidence up.
We do need, like, the college football week one.
You mean Barbados again?
Yeah,
8-0.
It's no 31.
I'm feeling good about Antigua and Barbuda.
Josie has 12 goals and 41 caps.
Wow. So this guy Thompson outdid Josie in
42,
one match.
42.
That's the answer to the universe.
Let's see what else. Greg Berhalter is retiring.
I think it's about time.
I think he's done his service to the national team and to MLS.
He really has. He's been awesome.
Yeah, captained both Energy Cuypers and Munich, 18 professional seasons, part of the 06 World Cup squad.
Big played, part of the 06. And 02, I believe, he was on the roster as well.
He filled in for Corey Gibbs in 06 and didn't play, but he played against Mexico and Germany in 02. So, Greg.
Berhalter had a goal that was handled by Torsten Frings.
Yes, he did. That motherfucker.
Still hate him. Never not going to hate him.
Yeah, fuck you, Toronto.
Anyway.
And one little random news bit. A 14-year-old German-born American is eligible for us because of his dad's citizenship is a 14-year-old guy. His name is Gideon Zalalem. Is being
he's American. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was American. I thought he was just German.
He's American.
Awesome.
He's been in 2 of our camps. He's not a citizen quite yet, but he's been called to 2 of our youth camps.
And he is headed to
Arsenal, possibly. But he's too young for their academy, so he's being courted by the Arsenal academy.
So he needs to stay here long enough to get his
three,
passport,
two
and
to
then
3 years, and then he can hop over.
Which I believe he can hop over once he's 17 or 16. 18, 16. So we're up against the clock, which is never a good thing when you're talking about the U.S. bureaucracy.
But this kid's 14, so he might suck. Who cares?
Yeah,
a fun side note.
And you know what? If anything, if he doesn't get his citizenship and he becomes a halfway decent player for Germany, Germany gets one that was produced on American soil. And so that way we get all of the Germans we want, and it's okay.
Indeed. Lots of goals this week. Herc Gomez scored his 5th of the season.
Doing it again.
3 games in a row. Chuck Kozlowskis, another goal, 4 in 6 matches. Ken David Jensen scored twice for Hinfoss, his first 2 of the season. Also, Kyle Helton scoring a goal in Norway. Andrew Wooten scoring a goal for Kaiserslautern 2.
Is that 5 and 12 now?
Or 4.
4? Okay.
Terrence Boyd, 8 and 10 for Bruce Dortmund's reserves. Bobby Wood making his first team debut with 1860 Munich.
It was 2 minutes, but still.
Yep, had a nice sub debut against Hansa Rostock, but Bobby is now professionally capped. Michael Bradley went 90 minutes with Verona against Juventus in their 0-0 draw.
I should also say Serie A this weekend, or horrific. Sunday, 6 matches. Or
the first 6.
The first 6 matches, 5 finished 0-0.
Yeah.
Horrible.
But
Serie A sucks.
Since Mikey started with Verona, they have 2 wins, 2 draws, and no losses. So Mikey is adapting well over in Italy.
Flying donkeys, they love him over there.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy. Josh Gatt had a hamstring injury, pulled him after 15 minutes.
Luckily, it's
that
not
was
serious.
Initially ruled for out for the season, but then kind of scaled back. So he might be out for a week or two. So Josh Gatt might be there in November. He better be there in November.
I doubt he'll be there in November.
Yeah, I know.
Only because I just don't have confidence in you're going to call him up.
And in left back news, Heath Pierce is fit again. So welcome back, Heath.
Please. Playing for FC Dallas.
Will we see him in November?
I fucking hope so, because we need a left back.
We don't have one.
Well, maybe we'll give Castillo another shot.
I'll kill you. I'll murder you. And that's your Yank.
Is Fabian Johnson back playing for Hoffenheim yet? Is he still hurt?
Still out.
Dang it. If you ask me, he's our best shot at having a legitimate left back.
Heath Pierce.
Besides Heath Pierce. Like, a legitimate top-level left back.
I still like Heath Pierce.
He was never all that bad for the national team, so...
I know.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's possible. Now, what else? What's next on the docket? What do we got?
We got Rob's invention here.
The ugly roster?
Yes.
So, are you guys going to make me go first?
Let's let Rob introduce this.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead. Introduce it. What is it?
Okay, well, the all-ugly team, pretty self-explanatory. We are just taking the most ugly players who can be capped or have been capped by the U.S. national team. I'm trying to look at my roster.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes, we do.
Because you guys are just suspicious of me cheating?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, this is going to probably be disastrous, but okay, first of all, I take issue with calling most people on the U.S. national team ugly because they've served their country and played for their country.
It doesn't matter.
So I don't view them as ugly.
You can still say they're ugly as sin.
So here we go. In goal, I have 2 keepers, Marcus Hanneman.
Completely ugly. Love that he plays, has contributed to the national team, but he's ugly as shit.
He's got a weird soul patch that I don't really know what was going on with that. And Matt Reese. They won't even know it was there. And then Matt Reese, only because Matt Reese is kind of a Marcus Hanneman lookalike, and that's a problem. There really isn't a whole lot of ugly in goal from what I was thinking about. Couldn't quite pick out anybody who was that bad.
I think you nailed some good ones.
In defense, center back, Tim Ream, only because he looks like an 8th grader posing for his class picture, which I just take an issue with because he looks like a grade school child. I mean, there's no bones about that.
Back line with an 8th grader.
No.
I'd consider it.
Additionally, now, also at center back, because you play center back, Marvel Wynn. Now, I took ugly in many different ways. Ugly also means that they just flat out suck and I hate them as soccer players. So they are ugly soccer players. Marvel Wynn is quite possibly the ugliest soccer player.
I think we're taking this the wrong way. I was going for physically just not attractive looking.
Well, I consider him very unattractive in how he looks on the field.
I found
he's
that
horrible.
Weird, so.
Okay, whatever. I'll allow it.
Danny Califf. I mean, really? Is anyone going to sit there and dispute me on that?
You're hearing dead silence, so.
So, no, he is. So, no, we are not. And I don't really know how to classify Dan Gargan. He plays in a few different places. Dan Gargan, just not a pretty face. That guy is just not
a
pretty sky. On the outside is where I believe we have the most interesting parts. Tim Chandler, and if he's not starting for anybody, for literally everyone who has an ugly 23 or an ugly 11 for the U.S. national team, they're wrong. Tim Chandler is a Frankenstein. He, that, That's what he looks
unless
like.
Unless somebody thinks that an ugly person, unless they think that ugly is sexy. That can be the only explanation, but it is so flawed.
Tim Chandler, ugly. Left back, Jonathan Bornstein, who both has a Jufro, which I hate, and I just hate Johnny him as a player. So, sorry, Johnny. Just don't like how you look.
But he's fast.
Edgar Castillo, speaking of fast, ugly soccer player. Hate him as a player. Horrible. He sucks. He sucks at soccer. Additionally, Danny Potts, which is a relatively unknown name for most people. He is a West Ham youth player. He looks like, you know, Justin Bieber boy toy. So, Danny Potts, definitely.
Ryan is looking
just
very
not a, not a
subdued
fan.
Right
he,
now.
He doesn't, he really, okay, okay. Well, anyway, even if they
didn't. I think
it's
because he sees the top midfielder listed on Ben's list.
The top.
I'm not looking at his list. I don't really care.
Don't you?
Not particularly.
Why not?
Okay, here we go. Okay. Danny Potts.
You don't care. Why are the really? People listening supposed to care?
Here you go. There's Danny Potts. That guy is just not. He looks like Justin Bieber, which is weird.
Don't women think that's good?
See, but this is my 23, Rob. This is my 23. We're going to the we're going to the midfielders now. And this pains me to say, but Breck Shea has a small animal on his head. And it's still there. It's probably dead, I think, at this point. But
birds are nesting in it now.
I don't know what's inside of his hair, but like we could find a treasure map in there. Would not surprise me. I don't know what's going on. But Breck Shea just has the blonde mullet that's just awkward. But it's a mohawk, but it's not a mohawk. I don't know. Then Kyle Beckerman, just because he looks janky. He just looks dirty. I'm not saying he's a bad player, obviously. Same way with Breck Shea, he just looks dirty. And then these next two come in a pair. It's Jeffrey Larenowitz and Dax McCarty, Big Red and Little Red, only because they're ginger. Pablo Mastroeni.
Alexi Lalas is angry right now.
Gingers suck. And I said that, Alexi.
You, Rob Moyer, declare on this day, the 17th of October, 2011, that
Twitter handle Yank NUFC. Say gingers suck.
Pablo Mastroeni.
Except for you, Sexy. You're the man.
Anyway, Pablo Mastroeni. Pablo was a difficult choice. He's done a lot for the national team, so obviously he's not an ugly player. Although his last cap with the U.S. national team was abominable. That sucked. It was the Costa Rica match, if I remember correctly, which was just awful. And I suppose I could say that when I was looking this up, it was this picture of Mastroeni and Beckerman together with their shirts off with these weird, awkward tattoos. It just did not paint Pablo in a great light. Now, I say all of this with this in mind, that the U.S. national team midfield is probably the best looking of all of the positions on the field. So Pablo is barely in the 23. Peter Vianis is my next selection. In my estimation, he looks like an aged Jesus. He just doesn't look good at all. He's got an ugly beard. Eddie Gavin is next. There's hair all over his head. Everywhere, literally everywhere, there's hair on Eddie Gavin's face. And then Kalen Carr has this, he's trying to do like a Kevin Alston, but it just doesn't work. He just doesn't have, you know, the messy fro. He just can't do it all that well.
He's also wearing a helmet now.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. He's wearing like a Petr Cech helmet?
Petr Cech helmet.
Wow, that's even worse. Okay, so moving on to the forwards, Robbie Finley, who is ugly as a soccer player to me because I just don't like Robbie Finley. I don't at all. He doesn't do anything but run fast. He is Robbie Rogers, except darker.
Four goals for Forest.
Don't care.
You're gonna be buying me some doghouse for it. So you're going to hate him even more.
You better enjoy it. Connor Casey, who is both an ugly soccer player and
his
an ugly human being.
His nickname's the Bulldog. And while I love Bulldogs, if your nickname's the Bulldog, you've got to be an ugly son of a bitch.
He's not a pretty man, not by any stretch of imagination. Pat Noonan, he's got almost a Vianis-like feel to him, just old, weird beard, not liking it. Devin Yao, who I believe now is playing in the...
what? It just says Yao.
Yeah, Devin Yao.
I thought it was Yao Ming.
He plays in the Belgian third division or second division, I'm forgetting which. But he too has a Kalen Carr like problem. He tries to do the messy fro, just doesn't work out. It's weird. And then the last guy in my 23, who is much like a Mascheroni, but I'm putting him in there to match him up with Ream, is Connor Doyle, because he too looks like an eighth grader posing for his class picture. Just hasn't quite figured out a hairstyle yet. Plays at Derby County under Nigel Clough, son of Brian Clough, the best manager in England.
Clough. Oh, God. I'll go next.
I'm going to go next. Just get out of the way.
Somebody was not happy doing this.
I was bored. Goalkeeper, Joe Cannon.
He's even got pictures.
Left back, Mira Corrales. Center backs, Orozco Fiscal and Danny Caleb. Right back, Marvell Wynn. Left back, Edgar Castillo. Center midfielders, Beckerman and Larnowitz. Right mid, my captain, Timmy Chandler. And up top, Kenny Cooper and Yevgeny Starikov.
I was upset that I couldn't use Patrick Nyarko's head for this one, because it is an oddly shaped dome.
I don't see why.
Well, you could have. It's your thing.
This is your.
He's your team. Not an American.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, okay. Anyway, okay. Right,
keeper, Mark Sandman. Right back, I have Dan Gargan. Like Ben said, he is not pretty. In the middle, I'm going to catch some heat for this. Danny Califf and Frankie Hajduk.
Whoa!
I love on the field, but looks-wise, he isn't so.
The pretty. Door is right there, Rob.
I hope you die.
Could you leave?
Okay, left back, Timmy Chandler. Hey, this dude said Breck Shea. You have almost as big a man crush as on Breck, don't
that's
you?
Not true.
Okay.
But, that's definitely not true. But midfield, also, there's legitimate reason to put Breck Shea in the ugly 20.
Okay, midfield, I've got Dax McCarty and Dustin McCarty.
Who's Dustin McCarty?
Apparently, there's a guy in MLS named Dustin McCarty. I'm not positive. He's probably related to Dax. Another guy who I did some deep digging on, Ben Cipolla. Who? Dude is a butt.
Oh, wow. So Dustin McCarty is no better looking than Dax. That dude is just... That's just straight messed up, that guy. Oh, man. Who's this other guy?
Dustin and Dax McCarty, and then I had Ben Cipolla.
Ben Cipolla. Oh.
No, you spelled it wrong. But I think you got it right anyway. No, I'm talking these pictures.
Wow, okay.
That is not pretty. And left mid, one guy that neither of you said, he's promising for the U.S. national team potentially, but dude has bad acne. Louis Gill.
He's 17. He's got bad acne? I had no idea.
He does.
These pictures aren't showing it. If you watched the game on Friday, he had
some red going on.
Little red dots around his face. And up top, Connor Casey and Breck Shea.
See? You can't lambast me for putting Breck Shea.
He looks like a horse.
Fair. That's fair.
And I'm standing by my Frankie Hajduk. Sorry, Ryan.
I don't really care.
Hate you.